We were speaking with Barsha earlier about how no one tries for misery. No one tries to be miserable. No one tries for unhappiness. No one tries for suffering. No one tries for anxiety. No one tries for pain. No one works hard day and night to get suffering. Prahlad Maharaj discusses these things. He's only 5 years old boy, but he's discussing these things in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto. And he's saying that we don't try at all for suffering. This is a general class of people. And if you take the pious section, the pious religious section, none of those religious people or pious people, none of them pray to God because they believe, they're pious and religious because they believe in God and they have faith in God. No one prays to God every day, "Oh God, please send me suffering. Oh God, please make me unhappy. Oh God, please send me disease. Oh God, please make me crash my car." No one prays. No one prays for that, and no one in the general class or non-religious person, in general, no one tries for suffering, but yet it comes. Without invitation, without petition or prayer, and without our wish or will. So Prahlad Maharaj is saying, it's just like if you have a coin, if you have a 1 rupee coin, one side is heads, we say heads and tails. It has two sides of the coin. So the material world is called dwandva. Dwanda means duality. There's dark and there's light, there's rich and there's poor, there's happiness and there's sadness. So Prahlad Maharaj is saying, we don't try for misery, we don't pray for it, but it comes. How does it come? Why does it come? Why does misery come? Why doesn't happiness come? Because of our prarabdha karma, our bad karma in last life, we're reaping the results in this life. So we don't do anything, it just comes. So Prahlad Maharaj is saying, he's realized it. Since we don't try for unhappiness and it comes, then there's no reason that we have to try for happiness, because that will also come. Because they come together. If you have a 1 rupee coin, you have both sides. So if unhappiness is coming, misery, suffering, disease, and setbacks and anxiety are coming without trying, without praying, then why do we have to try for and pray for happiness? What's the answer? Why? Why do people try for happiness, work so hard to get happiness, and work so hard to be healthy, when it's already coming? Why do they do that?
Because they're ignorant.
Because they're ignorant. they, we, I are ignorant. So we think, oh, if I don't try very hard, I won't be happy. If I don't work very hard, I won't be happy. Happiness won't come to me if I don't try hard. But so many people try very hard and they work very hard, and are they happy? No. And even people say, no, it's not the working that, it's not the trying and the working that gives us happiness. It's the money that we get. It's the money that we get from working that gives us happiness. This is one argument they've been given. It's not that I work because I get happiness from work, but I work to get money and that gives me happiness. But then we see people have so much money and they're also not happy because it's not their destiny. They're surrounded, you see the people. And sometimes people remark, what's wrong with that guy? He's got everything. He's got a big house, big job, fame, name, beautiful wife, children. But he's so unhappy. He's so miserable. Why? Because you were saying earlier that money is a source of happiness. He has it all. Or a beautiful wife is a source of happiness. He has a beautiful wife. Or nice children, a beautiful home. He has it. But still he's miserable. Why?
To understand.
Because it's karma. Same answer. Just keep saying the same thing. It's his karma. He may have his good karma brought him all kinds of wealth, physical beauty, and accrements in so many surroundings. But his bad karma has also caused him psychic suffering. His mind is, he's living in hell. Even though he's beautiful wife, beautiful children, fabulous money, prestigious house and colony, but he can't sleep at night without pills, because his mind is being tortured due to his sinful activities in his previous life. So he's not praying for that, but it's coming. So the Prahlada Maharaj is saying, since our destiny is, we're already destined to receive a certain amount of happiness and distress without trying, without working, then we should work in such a way by which we get liberation. And so he says, Komarat Atrat Pragyo. Komarat Atrat Pragyo Dharma Bhagavatamiya. He says, Komarat, from the age of Kumar, Krishna Kumar, from the age of 5, Bhagavad Dharma. We should start looking into Bhagavad Dharma, the religion of worshipping God. What is our duty to God? Our dharma, our duty. What is our relationship? What activities should we perform in relation to God? So he's telling like this. But it takes lifetimes to come to this realization that, wait a minute. Of course, everyone has to act or move or work. It's not that we just sit in the corner and say, well, whatever happiness and distress is going to come to me, so I'll just sit here in the corner. Because that's not what's being said in the scriptures either. We act according to our position. We have our particular role to play or action to, but we know that this action I'm doing is not going to give me happiness or distress in this life. It's already going to come. So therefore I'm not too passionate about trying to get more than what's going to come to me. I carry on with my duty. But I use the balance of my time, because human life is meant for self-realization, to actually get out of this cycle. Otherwise you stay in a cycle of samsara. You do good things, you get good results. You do bad things, you get bad results. In the human form of life, there's four choices. The human form of life gives four possibilities. What are those four possibilities? There's four possible, let's say, make it easier to understand the question. There's four possible attainments in human life. What are they? No, not those. Not dharmart, kam, moksha. No, four possible attainments. What you can attain with this human life. Yeah, that's two. No, you got two of them. Okay, I don't think you're going to get the other two. Save time. There's four possibilities in human life. One thing is, you can use your human life in such a way that you're, by acting in a certain way and following particular manusmriti or dharma shastras, you can act in such a way by which again you'll become a human being. Again you'll be born as a human being. And sometimes you progress up the varnas and sometimes you go down the varnas. You must have heard, at least if you haven't, you can hear it now, that if someone is a very good shudra, good shudra means, good means, what is the standard of goodness? Good is a value, you're saying good, value judgment, something's good or something's bad. But the standard of what is good or what the standard is, or standard of behavior, is the shastra. In any given society, there's certain ethics and morality, what they accept in their society. Even primitive societies have rules, social rules and principles by which the people live and guide themselves by. So more advanced and cultured societies have more complex rules and principles of morality and marriage and all these type of things. Not stealing and being a good person. So the Vedas, they give the rules and regulations for each varna and ashram. So if someone is a shudra and he follows the rules of Veda and he acts according to the standards of behavior given in the Vedas, in other words, he's a good shudra. This is the meaning of a good shudra. He follows the Vedic codes. He follows the Vedic codes of behavior and action for a shudra. Then what he does, if he's a religious person, he's religious and he's a shudra, the next life, again he's born as a human being, manasjanam. But now he'll be either a high-class shudra. If he was a low-class shudra, he can go up and be a really good shudra, a really blessed shudra. Maybe he was a shudra and he had an ugly body and not much money. Now again he's a shudra but with a beautiful body and some money. Or eventually he can become a vaishya. This is called varna promotion, mukti. Varna mukti it's called. It's a type of liberation where you go from one varna to the other. And you're a good vaishya, then you become a kshatriya. If you're a good kshatriya, you become a brahmin. And then you can become a brahmin life after life after life. Many people do like that. They live a very pious and religious life, but they don't surrender to God. They do the basic minimum, they follow the codes of brahminical behavior and live clean life. And then, but they're attached. They're attached to their wife, children, family. They're attached to the material life. So again, they become a manush. Again, they take birth as a human being. So you have one possibility in human life. You can take birth again as a human being if you follow some religious standards. Another possibility of human life is you can become an animal. Now you're a human being, but if you live irreligiously and violate the codes of God, break all the rules, just like you can live in Delhi as a law-abiding citizen, you can go from Noida to Goregaon to the movies, to the mall, you can go to Akshardham, you can go to ISKCON temple, you can go here and there, you want a vacation, come back to Delhi because you're a law-abiding citizen. You have so much freedom. But if you start breaking all the rules and start robbing and stealing, then they put you in the Tizazar jail, right?
Tihar.
Oh yeah, whatever. You go first to the court, then the jail. You go Tihari jail or whatever. You go to jail. And then your freedom is extremely limited, curtailed. It's 6 by 6, like 4 walls, 6 foot by 6 foot by 6 foot, and there are bars. Not much freedom. No mall, no movies, no vacation, no anything. Just a piece of bread in the morning, a piece of bread in the evening. So this is great suffering. And you ask, someone will say, oh, would you like to be in the prison and give up your life and as a law-abiding citizen? No, I don't want to be that. So that's human form of life. If we don't follow the laws of God, then we go to prison. Prison means become animal. Animal is simply following its instincts. There's not much freedom there. Very little free will and very little freedom. So that's the second choice. You can, human being, go down. And the third choice, if he really follows the Vedic paradigm in a very strict way, and he, from the higher orders at least, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, Kshatriyas and Brahmins, especially Kshatriyas and Brahmins, if they do all the yagyas and pujas correctly, then they can go swarga, swarga mukti, om burva vaswa. They can get more fabulous enjoyment. They can take a birth in a higher planet, and they can really enjoy material life. So you can go up, but whether you go up to the higher planets or you stay again as a human being or you become an animal, it's still rebirth, samsara. So these are three potential possibilities in human life. And the fourth possibility, which was mentioned, is that you can attain liberation, Vaikuntha liberation, eternal emancipation, freedom from the cycle of birth and death. Punar janmana vidyate.